Hey guys, it's your best fight friends. I'm Kelsey. That's Stephen McCarty. That's not Rachel. I forget where Rachel is. I have her. She took her stickers away. Just pretend like she's here. This is one of my favorite, very favorite segments of the week. Story of the week. And so we bring heavy Stephen McCarty on to talk about his favorite story of the week, and I talk about my favorite story of the week. Stephen, what was your favorite story this week?
I mean, it has to be the return of Nate Diaz because there's so many elements to it. So if you guys didn't see this, which I don't know how you didn't see it. If you're watching this video, you probably saw this. A couple days ago, Nate Diaz revealed that he's coming back via Twitter. He said that he's going to headline the May 15th card in Houston, Texas, which was UFC 262. But then ESPN came out with a headline a little later saying Diaz is fighting number three ranked welterweight Leon Edwards in the co-main event, UFC 62. So it's not headlining, but super interesting. This is the first ever co-main event that is not a title fight that is five rounds. It's a massive precedent that's being set, and we can get into that a little later if you'd like. But just the fact that Diaz is back, hasn't fought since November 2019, that loss to Jorge Masvidal for the BMF title. If you guys remember, he spoke to ESPN earlier this year and said, "Hey, I want to come back. I want to fight a couple times this year." Remember, at that point, he had a few names in mind, like Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. Those fights weren't going to happen. He's fighting at welterweight. He wants to stay at welterweight. Now he's taking on Leon Edwards, which is such a random matchup when you think about it. But also, I think it's awesome matchmaking. And I think it speaks to where Diaz is at in his fight career right now, where he wants to reestablish himself and also take a really hard fight, which he always does. The guy always takes hard fights. What was your reaction, Kelsey?
I could not believe that he was going to fight Leon Edwards. I just never saw that coming. He was talking about moving down to lightweight, remember, towards the end of last year. And then he was talking about fighting a lightweight at welterweight, right? Because he's been a welterweight for a long time. I never thought he'd match him against Leon Edwards because Leon Edwards is one of those guys that nobody seems to want to fight because he's too good and he doesn't have a big enough name to make it worth their while. And then here we are, Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. What do you think? Why do you think that they did the five-round co-main event for a non-title fight, Stephen? What's up with that?
I'm assuming that it was Nate that wanted this, right? Nate's going to get what he wants. He's already taken a fight that we wouldn't have guessed he was going to take with Leon Edwards. I think that this is him wanting this and Leon being like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll fight five rounds. I think it's because, well, Nate's a five-round fighter. If you look at all his fights, like he comes on during those championship rounds, the third round and then the fourth and fifth round, he comes on. He likes these long extended fights. Look at his fight with McGregor at UFC 202, the second time they fought, right? McGregor was piecing him up in those first two rounds, three rounds, but at the end of the fight, four and five, Diaz really came out. And that's why the fight was so close, right? The reason why Diaz was so mad with that doctor's stoppage against Jorge Masvidal at UFC 244 for the BMF title is because the fight was stopped because of a cut on his eye at the end of the third round. And Diaz was mad because, like, he knows that the fourth and fifth rounds is where he really shines, right? It's his cardio, it's his high pressure volume that he really starts putting on to the fighters who are fatigued or a little more fatigued within the first three, or after the first three rounds. So I think that that's a big thing. He sees an advantage here. We're like, hey, this is five rounds. I can implement my game plan. He's usually a slow starter, and then he really starts turning it on. So it makes sense strategically why Diaz wants it. I'm not surprised that Edwards said yes to it. Edwards is also a good five-round fighter. Look at his fight with RDA. He was prepared to go five rounds with Bilal Muhammad. Man, it's cool to see that Diaz is fighting Leon Edwards. We all know, like, if you paid attention to Edwards on social media, he had said a few times he wanted to fight Diaz. When I spoke to Edwards before his fight against Bilal Muhammad, I asked him about Diaz and he said, "Yeah, I want to fight Diaz, but Diaz doesn't want to fight anyone." Well, the fact that Diaz took this fight with Edwards, a guy which you mentioned as well, is not that big of a star, right? The average casual fan doesn't know who Leon Edwards is, but Diaz is looking for a hard fight, which he always does. He's looking for a good fight. And if he gets this win, man, Diaz might be your next welterweight title challenger, which is insane.
I think it's awesome, and I'm super excited that just you said Nate Diaz is fighting Leon Edwards. I'm just super excited that Nate Diaz is fighting because I wasn't sure I would get to see him in the cage again.
It came as a surprise too, right? All of a sudden, this happened like at night. I think it was what Tuesday night, I think it happened. Tuesday night, just all of a sudden, Diaz comes out with this tweet. And then ESPN drops the fight announcement. And you're like, man, where did this come from? But I think that I'm really excited for it. Diaz right now obviously is the underdog, which I'm not surprised. Edwards is a tough out for anyone. Yeah. He was on that 8-fight win streak. It was just snapped because of that, the no contest with Bilal Muhammad. But Edwards was looking good in that fight. I mean, he was looking really good. Who knows what could happen or what would have happened, because it is a fight and Bilal's one of the best in the world. But man, I'm excited.
Yeah, return of Nate Diaz. Thanks, Nate Diaz.
Another interesting thing, and what we've talked about already, is the 5-round co-main event.
Yeah.
And now this is a new precedent that's being set, you know? Leave it up to Diaz to create a new thing in the UFC, right? He created that BMF belt, and now he's created this 5-round co-main event thing, right? Like, but now it's interesting. Okay, so when are we going to do these 5-round co-main events? At what point does a fight justify being a 5-round co-main event, right? Is it going to be always with top contenders now? Is it those super insane fights like a Diaz versus Leon Edwards? How often are we going to see these 5-round co-main events?
I agree with you. I think that Nate Diaz wanted it to be a 5-round fight. So that tells me that the reason is because somebody requested it, and that somebody had enough star power, that somebody had enough pull, because I'm sure the tickets are going to sell super fast now that Diaz is on the card. They also announced it right before they put tickets on sale for UFC 262. People that are buying tickets and are going to buy the pay-per-view for the main event, Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira, they're going to be buying it for the Nate Diaz fight, right? So I think, is that a good reason? I don't know, but that's what they're doing.
It's so smart to place Diaz at this part of the card, right? Because a lot of the people that were not going to buy this pay-per-view are going to buy it now because of Diaz. That's just been a proven fact that Diaz is a needle mover, right? So you put him in there. Now you got two guys fighting for this vacant lightweight title, which is presumably going to be the headline of this card. Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira, two guys that are, especially Charles Oliveira, not really known to the casual fans. Well, that night you're crowning a champion of the UFC's deepest division in the UFC, right? You want that champion to be known, especially when you have people like a possible Nate Diaz fighting in there, or a Conor McGregor, or Dustin Poirier. You know, you want people to know who this champion is. Well, how do you do that? You put them on a card with a superstar that's leading off right before them, right? So I think that this is really smart from the UFC. I'm happy that Nate Diaz was okay with being the co-main event too, right? Like, a lot of times these fighters, these superstars, want to be the main attraction. But Diaz, and as he's shown, like with that Anthony Pettis fight as well, like, he's okay with being the co-main. He's also showing how much of a fighter he really is by taking on Leon Edwards.
Yeah, and the more you talked about it and all the reasons you laid out, I think now it's a brilliant move. Of course, you're going to sell a ton of pay-per-views. You're going to let people see a lot more people will see the lightweight title get crowned, and they'll be interested in the champion.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. So good stuff. And I can't wait to see how many 5-round co-main events we get. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'll tell you what else I'm excited about, Steven. I'm excited about an upcoming boxing match between Jake Paul, a YouTuber, and, of course, Ben Askren, a former UFC fighter, as well as a former ONE Championship and Bellator MMA champion. This guy, in fact, he was undefeated when he came over to the UFC late in his career. When this fight first got signed, Steven, I wasn't sure that Askren could beat Jake Paul in a boxing ring, because I'd seen Jake Paul fight. Now, I hadn't seen Jake Paul fight a real fighter, but I had seen Jake Paul. He has good form. He looks like he's young. He's definitely takes it seriously. And Ben Askren, of course, as you know, is mostly a wrestler. He used his wrestling skills to win his MMA fights. However, after the crazy face-off thing that they did, what I observed there, and the way that Askren seems so calm about, eerily calm. Like, he cannot, I feel like he's getting under Jake Paul's skin, which I didn't expect to see. I thought Jake Paul's a world-class troll, you know, as far as like social media goes. And yet I feel like he's getting beat there. And now, after seeing all that, I won't be surprised to see Ben Askren knock Jake Paul out in a boxing ring. And I didn't expect to be saying that to you when that fight was first announced. What do you think about that fight, Steven? How are you feeling about the boxing match?
Am I allowed to admit right now that I'm probably more excited for this fight than any other fight
right now? This is the place to do that, in real talk.
This is real talk. I am so excited for this fight, man. I'm all in on it. I mean, if you're like a boxing purist, like this is the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. Well, guess what? I'm not a boxing purist. I'm not, you know.
I'm here for the fight show, baby.
Yeah, I want to be entertained. And you know what, man? Like this is so much fun. And you mentioned like Jake Paul being like a world-class troll, which he is. Man, don't forget, like Ben Askren has been trash talking forever. He's been a troll himself. He's one of the funniest, most like well-known trash talkers in MMA history. This is his wheelhouse as well. Yeah, that face-off was interesting, especially when Askren put the hand to the face of Jake Paul and walked away. Created a meme forever now, right? Like I've seen that meme everywhere.
Who won that exchange, you think? I thought it was clear that Askren kind of punked him.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Paul's response to me, after I've seen more than I can count of face-offs like that, the response there wasn't what you would want to see from a fighter.
No, and so how I gauge this also is who won the exchange there? Askren. Why? Because all of the memes, all the videos, all the headlines have been talking about how Askren did that, right? No one's talking about how Jake Paul pushed him from behind. Whatever. I mean, it's Askren doing the hand to the face. So I give it 1-0 Askren for sure. The press conference, I think it was pretty back and forth. Paul had some good moments for sure, especially like calling, you know, having Masvidal come on the phone and stuff. It's so hard for Ben Askren to like duck and dodge the jabs of Ben Askren's KO of him, right? Like he deals with it the best way possible, right? He's like, it happens.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul definitely has met his match in terms of trolling. That's for sure. It's Jake Paul fighting, or boxing anyways, a world-class fighter. A guy that most people are now attaching him to this Masvidal knockout, right? Especially the casual fans. But if you've been watching this guy forever, you know how good Ben Askren is and how dominant he was before he got signed with the UFC. When he got signed into the UFC, he was an older fighter already, right? Yeah. If he got signed by the UFC a couple years before that, could have been completely different, his run.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and even the knockout, that wouldn't happen in the rematch. Like he was doing that so often that a fighter noticed that.
Yeah. The fact that's what he would literally walk in and grab you.
Right.
Well, he would obviously not do that anymore. From a technical standpoint, I'll give Paul the edge. Obviously, he's a guy that's been in there. He's a guy that's been training his hands nonstop for the last couple of years. Askren, I mean, we all know he's not a striker, and he's very honest about it. And he keeps saying, if I get into the ring with an actual boxer, I'm going to lose.
Right.
Here's the thing with Askren, and this has been talked about many times on many different shows, many different people. Askren is a competitor. He knows what it's like to fight and wrestle. He knows what it's like to get in deep into rounds. He knows what it's like to be exhausted with another guy in front of you trying to hit you. He knows all these things.
Yeah.
But Jake doesn't. Jake has starched all the fighters that he's fought. He has starched them, and they weren't even fighters.
Right.
You know, think what Askren, okay, think of this, man. Askren, when he fought Robbie Lawler, dude, that was the worst punishment ever. He got slammed on his head by Lawler. He got absolutely pummeled on the ground. And the fact that Askren got up and then it was able to, like, you know, kind of reverse positions of things and then catch Lawler in that bulldog choke, that just shows you how gritty Askren is. And I think that that's what he's implementing. He's implementing his gritty fight style. He's going to, you know, he's going to get in nice and close with Paul. He's going to try to link up a lot and try to tire out the fighter, right? He's going to try to tire out Paul. And that's why he keeps predicting a 7th round TKO victory.
I didn't know that was his prediction. That's my prediction. I have a way too early prediction. I think that Jake Paul is going to go out there. He's not going to be able to hit Ben Askren. It is very, very difficult to hit a fighter who doesn't want to be hit. Like, I can tell you from experience, that is a hard thing to do. That's Askren's whole game. His whole game in MMA was built on him not getting hit so he could grab. And then he's been working with Freddie Roach. I think that the other difficult thing that I don't think Paul understands is when you throw punches that you don't land and you don't land them, that hurts you. That hurts the fighter who misses. It hurts badly. Like I think he's going to get tired. He's going to get exhausted. And he's going to experience something that he didn't expect to experience. He's going to have adversity And like you said, Askren is a guy who knows all about that. He's a real fighter. Did you, I want to just point out the Rocky IV montage that they, that Askren put together. That's the story that I wrote. And when I saw that, even just doing that, to me, like, Askren is so sure that he's going to win this fight, that he's doing ridiculous crap like this and doing it in a way that's almost dismissive. Right? It's almost dismissive to Jake Paul. And I mean, it's really turned me around. I really do think he's going to knock him out like he said he is.
And what an opportunity for Askren right now. The casual fans, it seems like, almost run MMA Twitter a lot of times, or the trolls, I guess, run MMA Twitter, run MMA Instagram as well. If he, and so Askren is like subjected to the thought that his storyline begins and ends with that Jorge Masvidal knee. Right. Well, if he comes in and he's dismissive with Jake Paul, which he has been, and then he comes in and beats Jake Paul, I mean, I think that the end of Askren's career, like the history there, kind of changes. Right now, he's got this big win, this high profile, high profile, as in a highly viewed event. He's gonna get, he gets his big win, and maybe a little bit of that stain from that Masvidal KO kind of goes away.
I think it definitely goes away, and you know, and that's not the Jake Paul really has taken boxing seriously, so I'm not missing his efforts. He's definitely putting the work. He's definitely getting around the right people. I do know that he's rich and he's famous, and sometimes when people get around the rich and famous, they don't tell them the truth. Do you know? Like, he doesn't, if he just went in there as like a person, a guy, and worked with a bunch of pros, I think he would have a better idea about what he's about to be in for.
The reason this is so exciting is because Paul has been putting work in the gym.
Yeah,
if it was just a YouTuber who was boxing Ben Askren, I mean, there would be very low interest.
Right.
The fact is, Paul's the problem child, man. He's been putting in work. So and he can very,
like, if he, conversely, let's say I'm totally wrong and he knocks Ben Askren out in the first round, I think that's great too, man. That's great for Jake Paul. It's great for the future of these crazy boxing shows. And who knows, maybe Jake Paul, maybe someday he's the world champion. That would be one of the most amazing stories in boxing history.
Man, if he wins, it's so crazy. This fight is so pivotal for this YouTube boxing era right now. If he loses to Askren, I mean, you're not calling out an MMA fighter next. You're going to probably box another YouTuber, celebrity, or athlete that's not a fighter. But if he beats Ben Askren, oh,
man.
I mean,
better watch out. Watch out, Nate Diaz.
What?
All right, well, Stephen, we love having you on our show. We love stories of the week. He's Stephen McCarty. I'm Kelsey McCarson.